championship match, 3-on-3 basketball. They were the underdogs, their third seed playing against the second seed, and they were down the whole game, came back at the end, and tied the score. So in this league, end of regulation, tie score, it goes to a shootout. You guys know what a shootout is? You're probably familiar in soccer. What happens is each team sends up a person to shoot a free throw, and the first team that makes it, when the other team misses it, they win. So the other team, it's a tall Chinese dude, by the way, sent up a player, made it. Our team, we sent up Connor. He made it. Second person, our team, Nathaniel, goes up there. Dad's like, oh, man, Nathaniel, don't fail it. He makes it. Their team, second person, he makes it. They send up the third person. He makes it. Our team, we send up Erdy. He makes it. Fourth person comes up from our team. It's another Chinese dude, by the way. Misses it. Ooh, their team comes up. Misses it. Fifth person comes up. Shoots the free throw. Misses it. Our fifth person comes up. He's at the free throw line. Anan. He strokes it. The ball goes through the net. He makes it. And the crowd erupts. And we win the semifinal championship game. And, you know, we all enjoy team sports and the excitement of winning in a team sport. And in order to win in the team sport, each individual has to contribute. Each individual has to play her part. I mean, nobody wants to be that girl or that guy who misses the free throw or isn't scoring or is just simply sitting on the bench. And not only in the game of basketball, but also in God's game, in God's game of life, in God's kingdom, each of us desires to contribute, to add value, to score for God's team, God's kingdom. But maybe you're in here this morning and you're wondering, what use can I be? Am I really important enough that I can contribute, that I can add value to God's team? Maybe you feel like you're just out of it or apathetic. Maybe you feel like you're too busy. So how could I even find the time to score and contribute to God's team? Well, I hope that this morning you have the desire to add value and to be a valuable team member for God's kingdom, His team. And if you do, let's turn to the parable of the sower. How can we be a vital member of God's kingdom, His team? We're going to look at the parable of the sower, sowing from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. We're picking up here, and in verse 1, it tells us, again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. So we are still in Capernaum. We have spent chapter 3 inside a home, talking about who is the family of God. But we're moving outside of the home, and Jesus is going back to the sea. And Jesus is still wowing the crowds with his works and his words. So there's a large crowd following him, so much so that Jesus gets on a boat and he's sitting on the boat with his close associates, and the crowds are on the shore, on the land. That's what verse 1 tells us. Now, what's Jesus doing? He is teaching. He's teaching. Verse 2, he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching, he said to them, verse 3, listen. Listen. Now, that's a very important word. We're going to come back to that. So, Jesus is on the boat. He's waxing eloquent. He's teaching, using all these wonderful illustrations. And he starts off by starting to teach the parables. Now, the parable is an illustrative story with a point. And we'll talk a little bit more about the purpose of parables. But the content of the parables is primarily talking about the kingdom of God. Where do I get that? Look at verse 11. Verse 11 tells us that he said to them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. So there's something about it. Once we really understand the parables, we're going to understand something about the kingdom of God. Look at verse 26. What does verse 26 say? It says, verse 26, he said, the kingdom of God is da 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 da. And then he starts to tell a parable. Look at verse 30. Verse 30 says, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? And then he tells a parable. So if we want to find out how we can be scoring members of the kingdom of God, a great place to look is the parables. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at this very famous parable. We've heard it all since we've been in Sunday school. But let's look at it with fresh eyes and a fresh heart. Starting in verse 3, he says, listen, and behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, verse 4, some seed fell along the path. So we're going out to fields. We need to find some good soil. And the sower is coming out and he throws some seed. So he's throwing some seed. But he doesn't throw it in the soil, in the field. It's on the road or the path next to the soil in the field. Now what happens? What happens? It says in verse 4, the birds came and devoured it. Okay, so there's our bird coming down into devouring it. Now, verse 5, other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. So this is field one. It doesn't even fall on the soil. But field two, could you please stand up for us? Rocky soil. Okay, so we got some rocky soil. But now this is what happens here is that there is soil. It's not very deep. It's just on top of the rock. Okay, and so what happens? What happens is that when it did not have much soil, and immediately, there's our favorite word, right? Immediately, it sprang up, and since we got a little bit coming up, and since it had no depth of soil, and then verse 6, and when the sun rose, yes, the sun rose, okay? It was scorched. The sun rose and it was scorched. Okay. And since it had no depth of soil, it withered away. It withered away. Okay. So easy come, easy go. It rose up and then it withered away with the sun. Now, Verse 7. Other soil fell among the thorns. So we have our thorns. Thank you, thorns. Okay. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So this plant, this is wheat, by the way, it's alive, but it's just not bearing any fruit, no crop, because the thorns are suffocating it. So it's still alive, but it's just not bearing any crop, any fruit. Thank you. Verse 8. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So can we please show our fruitfulness? This is the last. Yes, I'm sorry, we can't see too many persimmons in there, but it's a harvest of fruit. Thank you. And it's a wheat harvest, though, and we're bringing in the grain for the harvest. So that's the parable. That's the parable. Look at verse 9. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There's that word again. It's hear, listen. It's that same Greek word, akouo, where we get our phrases for acoustics. Hear, listen. But it's a particular kind of listening. Look at verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him, his close associates, with the 12, asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but those outside," again, look at the staging, those around him, those outside, "everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." What kind of listening is Jesus talking about? There are select few who get to hear the meaning behind the story, behind the illustration, and it's those people that are close to him. This is going back to chapter 3, verse 35, where those who were close to him were the family of God, those who were willing to do the will of God. Those who are willing were showing a genuine commitment to obey. They were close to Jesus. And they got to hear the explanation of the parable. Those who were not, they just heard the parable. And so, friends, as we seek to be scoring members of God's kingdom, let us listen with ears. Listen with ears to obey the King. Obey the King, and that King is Jesus. And so, friends, let us be like the teenager who said to me, "When I wake up and go out during the day, I don't want to just read my Bible and then forget about it. I want to be thinking about what I read that morning when I'm at school, or for those of us who are older, when I'm at work or when I'm at home, and thinking about how it applies to my life." As we hear the word of God, let us listen with ears to obey. As we study his word in Sunday school, in our focus groups, in our missional community groups, during the sermon. And by the way, have we been keeping that spiritual journal? Have we been applying? Did you call someone up or text someone and try to encourage them to join back into the family of God last week? Let us be people who listen with ears to obey the King. But let's find out the explanation of this parable. Looking in verse 13, he says to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Again, Jesus is encouraging that understanding, which actually comes through obedience. so that you can understand more. To whom some is given, more will be given. And then he explains the parable. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path, our first field. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And so if you'll notice, our bird was like, it's really a dragon, but that's a good representation, because that bird that comes and steals the seed away is Satan. Okay? So this person I have called the closed heart. The closed heart. They have never opened up their heart to God and His Word. And so if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. Soften your heart. Open it up to God. But then he goes on and explains the other sowing. Verse 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, and here's our repeated word in Mark, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, and here's our word again, immediately they fall away. Easy come, easy go. A fast start. Now, these are the ones who, when all my friends and all the crowd is following Jesus, yeah, I'm in there. When Jesus is blessing me and I'm feeling good, yeah, I'm in there. But the moment that I get a little opposition, a little trouble in my life, then I'm out of there. And so this is the emotional heart, or the overly, strictly emotional heart. And friends, as we seek to be scoring members of God's kingdom, the way to avoid the emotional heart is to endure suffering and persecution for the name of Jesus. To endure suffering and persecution for the King. You know, because we value that which we sacrifice and suffer for. I know another teen, and last year when he was on the basketball team, he had to be at school at 5:30 in the morning. 5:30 in the morning. That meant that he had to sacrifice, suffer a little bit the night before, maybe cut out some leisure, cut out some entertainment so that he could get up on time, or go to sleep on time, get up on time, and make it to basketball practice the next morning, because he wanted to be a contributing member of the team. Well, friends, it works the same way with God's kingdom. And if we really want to add value, then let us also cut out some leisure, cut out some entertainment, if it means that we will then be able to wake up, go to sleep on time, wake up early in the morning, meet with the Lord to get our marching orders from the King so that we can be effective for Him. When it comes to persecution, last time we had the Fall Fest, you're inviting some people to come. However, some will come, but some might reject you. They might reject your invitation. In fact, I texted a friend of mine, and he gave me a text back. He said, "Thank you, sir. I won't yo church anymore." Okay, he had a misspelling. I think he says, I won't go to your church anymore. I felt bad when I received that text message back. But friends, as we raise the King in our conversations with others, sometimes they will give those kinds of responses. And brace yourself for it. Endure so that you can know it's coming and hang in there. Keep pressing on for the King. So how can we be an effective contributing member for the King of for the Kingdom of God? Let us endure suffering and persecution for the sake of the King. Now, his third illustration, he says in verse 18, "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, and the cares..." Now, everybody's hearing. It's that same word, akouo. Everybody's hearing. "But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." So they're getting distracted by the cares of the world, by riches. This is what I call the divided heart, the divided heart. And so, friends, how can we be scoring members for the Kingdom of God? We must exalt the King over wealth and worldly desires. Exalt the King over wealth and worldly desires. Now, recently, I have been filling out the FAFSA. Anybody in here know what the FAFSA is? The FAFSA? Yes, okay, thank you. Yes, okay, sorry, you can't see this, but it's the Federal Aid for Student Aid, something like that, FAFSA. And now, what I had to do is I had to look at all that I own, all my money, and how much is in my savings, my checking account, how much is in the stock market. And then as I start to apply for financial aid for my soon-to-be college student, they start to ask things like, how many IRAs do you, how much do you have in your IRAs? Do you own a house? How much is your house worth? Did you pay for all your house? How much do you still owe? So I had to do a reckoning, an accounting of all the money that I have, basically. All right? Now, I want us to do that right now. You maybe haven't filled out the FAFSA. I know you guys sitting over here, okay, I got $10, you know, in Wells Fargo, okay. But for some of us who have a little bit more than that, we're going to think about all that money we have, that we own, that we possess. And now we're going to, I want us to pull out our wallets. Pull out our wallets, okay? Or pull out your billfold. And this is going to represent all the money that you have. Everything, okay? So get out your wallet, get out your billfold if you have. And now, let's just offer it up to God. We're saying, God, it's all yours. Take it all, just like the songs that we sing. Take all of me. Take all of me. Let's offer it up to the Lord. House, IRAs, savings, stock, checking account. It's all his. Because if we want to be effective scorers for the Kingdom of God, we need to exalt the King over wealth and worldly desires. He talks about these worldly desires. It's this anxiety for the cares of the world. It's this pursuit for worldly accumulation and growth. And so I want us all to excel on our jobs. I want us all to excel in school, in our extracurriculars. However, as we excel and as we do our work heartily for the Lord, let's make sure that we keep Jesus at the top, that we keep Jesus as our first priority, and that he's at the center of all that we pursue. And so I'm talking to some parents, and I talk to one parent, and he tells me that his daughter is in marching band. And now we all know what the demands are for that. And he tells me his daughter is in AP classes and involved in extracurriculars. And he also tells me that through all the years of her high school, her 4 years, and her band, by the way, it just placed in the top 15 in the state. In the state, top 15. So this is no, you know, slow mojo band here. This is a high performing band. But you know what he told me? Never missed church those 4 years. Top 15 band in the state. And so friends, you know, we're in this avarice, this rat race just to get our children to succeed in the eyes of the world, you know, and SAT this and extracurricular that. And yes, do well, do your best. But let's keep Christ at the first in all that we do, whether it's your work or your school or your extracurriculars. Exalt the King. Exalt the King over wealth and worldly pursuits. And what happens? Verse 20 tells us, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it. They heard and they accepted it. And I'm not supposed to add to the Bible, but I might add that, and they did it. They obeyed it. And they bore fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So this is the whole heart. This is the whole heart. What kind of fruit did they bear? Probably they were reflecting the fruit of the character of Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They were probably seeing more people come to know Jesus and follow him. And so friends, how can we be contributing scorers for the kingdom of God? Let us listen with ears to obey. Let us endure suffering and persecution for the King. And let us exalt the King above wealth and worldly desires. I'm sad to report to you that one of our workers, and I want to kind of keep this low profile because it's still a little sensitive, but one of our workers that we support has in the last few weeks been asked to leave her host country. And but she wrote in a recent prayer letter, as she has had to return to America, she's wrote, one of the things she's learning, he is worthy. He is worthy. And following him is worth it. Following him is worth it. You see, this person, she could have made a lot of money just doing what she was doing. Very well educated, great job, and yet she was willing to leave behind that stability, leave behind those comforts, go to another land, and be a witness for Jesus. And she suffered some of the consequences. She was asked to leave that host country. And now she has to figure out what to do now. What am I going to do now? But she's a scoring member for the kingdom of God. And you know, scoring members of the kingdom of God, it's not always dependent, completely dependent upon geography. And I believe, and I know, this person is going to be contributing wherever she is. If she's here in America, if she goes to another country in the future. Because even before she left, you could tell that she radiated the love and the joy of Christ wherever she went. She was discipling, mentoring others. She served on the missions committee in her church. She served in her small group. She reached out to internationals. And so, wouldn't it be great if all of us, our whole church, had that whole heart? What an impact we could make for the kingdom of God as we listen with ears to obey, as we endure suffering and persecution for the King, and as we exalt the King above wealth and worldly desires. Lord, we praise you. You are worthy to be praised. And Lord, just as the song says, take everything. Take everything. We surrender all. Help us, Lord, to obey you, even if it means pain, ridicule. And may you be at the top of the pyramid in the small things and in the big things in life. We pray this through the King. And all the people said, Amen.